Through Grief to Live Again by Chatteras. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, Word of Honor, Perengwen Cushing, Josushu. Josushu knew that many things had happened since Wen Cushing fell off the cliff. For one, he jumped after Wen Cushing, reaching for sea glass robes and feeling only the curl of wind around his fingers. For another, Ye Baiyi had caught him with arms clad in mourning white and leapt off what seemed to be nothing more than a waterfall's mist. "Stop it, Xiao Zhou," Ye Baiyi had said, words far softer than his tone. "It will be all right." Josushu couldn't remember what he'd said after that. He remembered screaming, and he remembered Ye Baiyi striking him. Everything after that was a haze. When he woke, Josushu was in Jingbei Yuan's manor. The sun was too bright, the room too quiet, and for a moment he was certain that he'd simply had a bad dream. Then he stood and saw Jingbei Yuan himself, sitting between him and the door, eyes closed, probably asleep himself. But they had known each other long enough for Josushu to know that Jingbei Yuan just liked pretending. He'd wake the moment Josushu moved. And, for someone who didn't focus on martial skills, he had an uncanny awareness of the world around him. Josushu sat up. Jingbei Yuan's eyes opened. "Ye Baiyi said you should be kept in a cage for the next week," he said lightly, as if this were a perfectly normal conversational opening. "Care to explain why?" Memories crashed back over Josushu. He gasped and curled around his chest. Even the nails didn't hurt as much as the ache in his heart. "He died." Jingbei Yuan was at his side in an instant, calling for Wuxi. Josushu shrugged Jingbei Yuan off, along with the blankets, and made it to the door before Wuxi blocked his way. Calm, implacable, worried underneath the calm mask Wuxi was very good at wearing. For a moment, Josushu contemplated breaking through his damnable staff and whatever serpent would inevitably lunge at him the moment its master was threatened. He felt Wuxi react to that intent, qi unfurling around him like black wings as his eyes hardened. Josushu took a breath and unclenched his hands. "Wuxi." Wuxi kept his gaze fixed on Josushu, but his words were directed elsewhere. "Should I subdue him, Bei Yuan?" "Ye Baiyi suggested it." Jingbei Yuan came out around the edge of Josushu's vision. "I'm beginning to understand why." Wuxi nodded peacefully and smiled at Josushu. It wasn't a nice smile. "Do you think I need to subdue you?" Josushu thought longingly of the moment he'd woken up and believed everything to be a dream, of the relief that had washed through him, of how he currently wanted nothing more than to run back to the cliff Wen Cushing had fallen from and search for his body, or... "How long was I asleep?" Josushu forced the words out between numb lips. He couldn't slaughter the entire Five Lakes Alliance on his own, let alone the Scorpion or the allies assembled in their wake. He doubted he'd even be able to find Wen Cushing's body, steal it from their forces, and bring it to a proper burial. "You left yesterday," Jingbei Yuan sighed, drawing Josushu's attention. It meant that he wasn't watching Wuxi closely, but it didn't seem to matter in the face of Jingbei Yuan's words. "Ye Baiyi returned you this morning. It's almost time for dinner." He'd been unconscious a whole day. Josushu closed his eyes, knowing what the opening would mean. Even with his weekend meridians, he could feel Wuxi move the moment his vision was blocked. Josushu felt himself fall as he breathed in the powder Wuxi had blown into his face. Part of him hoped he would never wake again. You can't sleep forever. Wuxi's voice broke into the gentle darkness Josushu had been endeavoring to stay in. I know I've been telling you to get rest, but you've moved beyond the point it's helpful. Josushu kept his eyes closed. You said that Prince Jean's muscle relaxants did not work on you because you lacked a sense of smell. You're awake now because I'm better. Wuxi sounded very self-satisfied, and Josushu couldn't help but smile a little in response. There you are. Your face contorted too much when I struck this under your nose for you to not wake up. He'd been caught, so Josushu opened his eyes, the barest slit, to look at Wuxi. Why? Why wake you up? Josushu nodded. Wuxi slid a hand under Josushu's head and started lifting. There wasn't any point in resisting. He could make this a fight, but Wuxi had the advantage, and Josushu didn't care enough anyway. You need to eat, Zushu. Do I? Josushu pulled away from Wuxi and sat up himself. In the soft lantern light, Wuxi shifted from too grounded to almost ethereal. Do you want to die? Wuxi studied him, dark eyes boring into him. 2 days ago you wanted anything but. Does he mean so much to you? Wordless, Josushu nodded. Wuxi shook his head a little. Bei Yuan should talk to you about this. About what? Drink your soup. Wuxi handed him a bowl and a spoon. I'm not feeding you unless you're truly helpless. Josushu took the bowl and rested it in his lap. He met Wuxi's eyes and waited. Wuxi waited too, silent and implacable and steady as stone. He'd forgotten, Josushu realized, how patient Wuxi could be. And he could play this game, but there wasn't any point. So Josushu looked down and raised the bowl and drank. It tasted like nothing, because everything tasted like nothing. But it was warm and thick on his tongue, and when it settled in his stomach, it was good. About death, Wuxi said, as if the last 5 minutes hadn't happened at all. But he's busy. So you get me instead. I owe you a favor, and Yi Baiyi asked me to help you. So understand this. You are not dying while I am here, Josushu. Josushu felt something, probably. He was too exhausted to name the weight settling across his shoulders and stabbing through his heart. It was worse than the hook chain Shuang Pengju had set in his shoulders, and those, at least, had only harmed his flesh. How long will you keep me alive? Until you learn to live again, Wuxi said in that damnably mysterious way of his. I made a promise, Josushu. I will not break it. Great, Josushu mumbled. He clutched at the bowl in his hands and felt it crack at the unintended force. Just great. Wuxi watched him, but he said nothing more. Ye Baiyi sent a letter, Jing Bei Yuan told him, 2 interminable periods of sleep later. You should read it. Josushu had stopped arguing when Jing Baiyuan and Wuxi handed him things. They tended to be important or useful, and neither would give up until Josushu accepted whatever it was they'd brought. So he took the paper, absently noted it was addressed to Qiye, and pulled out the note within. He snorted at the first line. Give this to Qin Huaizhan's idiot disciple. And then spent a minute staring at the rest of the brief text. The Five Lakes Alliance is holding another Heroes Conference in 2 days. Josushu will be pleased by what happens there. Did he send you any other letters? Josushu said, voice rusty from disuse. He did not. Jing Bei Yuan poured another cup of tea and offered it. Do you know what he's talking about? Josushu took the cup, drank the tea. He trusted that Jing Bei Yuan wouldn't hand him something so hot it would scald, Wuxi had learned that one the hard way, the first day of his recovery, or whatever this was. Confinement. Pain was not entirely off the table yet, but it was muted. All extremes were softened, really, and he couldn't tell anymore if it was the nail's torment or his own monstrous grief. The tea helped, and this time when he spoke, his voice sounded almost normal to his ears. They're gathering to cleanse Mount Qingya. I don't know why he thinks. Tears bloomed in his throat, clogging it, shrouding his eyes. There is no kindness there, he said, finally. I don't know what lies behind his words. Jing Beiyuan's forehead furrowed slightly, and then his lips parted and his expression cleared. You should go, he said, standing. Wuxi and I cannot. Nothing's stopping you, Zhou Zixu muttered, looking at the letter again. Zhou Zixu will be pleased by what happens there. Ye Baiyi knew something, and he was lording it over everyone else by not sharing it. Jing Beiyuan laid a hand on his shoulder, firm and reassuring, and slightly too distant. This Jianghu was never ours, Zixu. Zhou Zixu closed his eyes and breathed. He knew that was true. It didn't make it any better to walk into the unknown with his chest metaphorically ripped open. Wuxi had stopped him from making it literal, and Wuxi in fury was a sight to behold. And nobody at his side. Ye Baiyi was unlikely to outright lie to him, but that didn't mean they were looking towards the same goals. Okay, Zhou Zixu sighed heavily. He leaned towards Jing Beiyuan, wishing that it was a different person standing there, a different warmth that could reach through his skin and reignite his soul. But curiosity, or at least a chance to face Ye Baiyi and condemn him for catching Zhou Zixu alone, drove him forward. I'll go. Zhou Zixu hadn't meant to speak. He hadn't meant to enter the stage, to stand in the midst of the so-called alliance and tear into them with words and, almost, his sword. He hadn't meant to do anything other than watch and wait for Ye Baiyi to make his appearance and confront him. But then Zhao Jing had spoken so many lies, with his tongue and his body, and Zhou Zixu couldn't. It was one thing to pretend to honor while dealing lies and poison behind others' backs. That was simple politics, a field Zhou Zixu had spent unfortunate years within. It was quite another to stage a combat so carefully crafted that even the elites had trouble seeing the practiced game behind it. Still, politics was the realm Zhao Jing could be dismantled with, and so Zhou Zixu let the truth spill from his mouth. His martial arts were not at their best, but more than enough to take care of the guards called to fight him. A half-dead tiger could still maul those who sought its death. As he drew his sword to defend his Shidi's honor, Zhou Zixu wondered, "Is this why Ye Baiyi summoned me here?" A moment later, when he heard a familiar voice he thought had been lost to him, and turned to face the ghost-white figure descending to his side, Zhou Zixu stopped wondering. There had only ever been one thing he desired, Zhou Zixu thought, hearing Wen Cushing call him Xishong. And Ye Baiyi, frustrating as he could be, had long since known what it was. After Ye Baiyi used the force of his reputation and skill to halt the heroes' conference and allow them to walk free, Zhou Zixu sent Zhang Chengling back with Gu Xiang and Cao Weining. He walked at Wen Cushing's side, standing tall, with the necessary mask of strength and pride, and made it 100 steps, just out of sight, before he collapsed and all the blood that had congealed in his chest shook itself free. Wen Cushing caught him as he stumbled, coughing out iron-sweet blood, and said, "Ashu." "Why?" Zhou Zixu gasped, clutching at Wen Cushing's arms, raising his eyes to that beloved face, those panicking eyes. because Wen Kusheng knew him as well as he knew himself. The single word was enough. Wen Kusheng knelt and held him close, and Zhou Zixu's blood spilled from his lips to Wen Kusheng's white-clad shoulder. "Too many people have seen our bond," he murmured, voice cracking, a different moisture running against Zhou Zixu's ear. "If you weren't, even you could not feign this grief and make them believe my lies, Ashu." Zhou Zixu grimaced and wiped his mouth. The part of him hardened by a decade spent in Prince Jin's court understood this all too well. The leader of Tianchong would have made the same choice in a heartbeat. But Wen Kuxing's Ashu was a more tender soul, protected by the scars of Tianchong, and said, "I almost died to follow you." Wen Kuxing brushed his lips against Zhou Zixu's neck, and then pressed his face into Zhou Zixu's shoulder. Tears bloomed hot against the cloth, felt even through the thick layers and nails numbing. "I'm glad you didn't. I wouldn't have wanted to chase you there." "Everyone else knew," Zhou Zixu mumbled bitterly, exhausted and limp in Wen Kuxing's arms. He felt Wen Kuxing draw a breath, the way he tried to steady himself to explain yet more, and shook his head. "Take us home, La Wen. I don't want to hear this now." "Okay," Wen Kuxing said softly and rose to his feet. Zhou Zixu curled into him, not caring to pretend to the stature of the Lord of Suji Manor. He was Ashu now, and Ashu just wanted his La Wen to have yet more proof that this wasn't a dream. Wen Kuxing obliged, arms strong and certain around his waist, and carried them both away. The explanation at dinner helped. The promise of extracting the nails, a week hence, when all the preparations were complete, helped more. But it was Wen Kuxing stepping into his room that night, a smile on his face and a jar of wine in his hand, that helped most of all. Zhou Zixu set the jar aside. "I don't think we need pretenses anymore," he said, looking into Wen Kuxing's eyes. Wen Kuxing's lips curved up, and his fingers came to rest on Zhou Zixu's cheek. "No," he agreed, and moved in for a kiss. "I don't think we do." It had always been simple to find pleasure in the way their bodies fit together. This was simply another field to test themselves on. Zhou Zixu sighed and felt the expansive joy rush through him, and heard Wen Kuxing's answering laugh. There was no space for sorrow, with Wen Kuxing wrapped around him as closely as any two people could be. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITPE, Marianas. I hope you enjoyed this. Thanks!